Number 8. I mean, how are they going to collect on that? Like, right? No, you know, anyway, so... Oh, man, I died, and now I got to pay you $200. Anyway, so this is a case involving double jeopardy, and this is not my son. I would never do that to my kid, and I'm now worried for the therapy bills that this family is going to incur for this child. That is terrible, the terrible it thing sitting there next to this kid. But this case involves a DWI with a child passenger, and Cook pleads to 2 counts of DWI with a child passenger because there were 2 kids in the car. And both counts arise from the same incident, but with different kids. And Cook files a pro se writ alleging a double jeopardy violation, and the habeas court agrees, and it goes to us, and we unanimously agreed. So we're holding hands. See how great that is? See that one? All trauma is gone. It's just wiped away. It's just through agreement. The unit of the prosecution, of course, notes that the unit of prosecution is driving. It's not each child, because driving while intoxicated is guilty behavior. The child is a circumstance of that behavior, but it doesn't make the crime, doesn't make the driving while intoxicated otherwise innocent behavior guilty behavior. Driving is the nature of the conduct. That's what the gravamen of the offense is, and the child passenger is a circumstance. So if this had been a situation where it was just like where the presence of the child or the presence of each child made otherwise innocent conduct guilty, then you could say the gravamen of the offense is going to be each child. But here, we're really only concerned with driving, so a bunch of kids in the car is still just going to be one offense. Speaking of double jeopardy, two, you also want to look at a case called Ramos versus State. Continuous sexual abuse of a child and prohibited sexual conduct committed against the same child in the same time frame does not violate double jeopardy. The reason for this is that those are two separate offenses because the nature of the conduct is inherently bad. And so, yes, continuous sexual abuse is going to show a pattern of conduct, but each one of those individual instances of conduct will be a separate offense, and that's Ramos. And then, of course, I also want to point out this case called Ex Parte Rion, which deals with collateral estoppel. Just to emphasize to you, this is another case where the court strikes down a collateral estoppel claim and says, look, this collateral estoppel isn't going to bar prosecution for reckless aggravated assault after an acquittal for manslaughter against a different victim because each victim is going to be a different injury, you know, it's a different murder, different conduct, and that's going to be a different crime. And the big thing to remember about this is that the Supreme Court and the Court of Criminal Appeals have noted this, that collateral estoppel is probably not something that should be considered as part of double jeopardy. It's more along the lines of a due process claim. And so there's not a lot of, the courts are not necessarily friendly to collateral estoppel claims. So I wanted to point that out to you as another example of hey, here's another collateral estoppel claim that just didn't work. So, and it was close, but it didn't work. So number 7. This case was written by the lovely Barbara Hervey. Case called Molina versus State. It's actually a very good opinion, and it's another one of these DNA batch testing cases. Here, Molina was convicted of aggravated sexual assault. It's a cold case. Reliogene generates 2 DNA profiles that then later lead to a hit, and then the Houston Forensic Science Center makes a profile from Molina's sample, and then the expert then compares the 2 samples, the cold sample and the new sample. But the big difference is that the expert independently verifies Reliogene's sample using computer-generated data from Reliogene, but then comes to their own independent opinion. They're not reciting Reliogene's opinion. They're giving their own opinion based upon their own reconstruction of the analysis done by Reliogene. No one from Reliogene, of course, testifies, and the Reliogene report that the expert from the Houston Forensic Science Center relied upon, was not admitted as well. So the question is this a Confrontation Clause problem? And a unanimous Court of Criminal Appeals affirms saying, nope, this doesn't violate the Confrontation Clause. The Reliogene report itself was non-testimonial. It wasn't created for use against Molina because it was a cold case, so it couldn't have been targeting him. But more importantly, the data in the report was relied upon, but it was not used. It was not sort of, the report wasn't used, but the data itself, which is non-testimonial, could be the kind of thing that an expert would rely upon. And again, the testifying expert did their own independent analysis. They weren't acting like a surrogate for the Reliogene expert. They had their own opinion, and that's what the focus was on. If you want, if you have a case dealing with this, these two cases, Molina and Paredes, Molina really sort of focuses or really hews fairly close to Paredes. But Paredes is also another good opinion to look at. Both of these cases are really where you're going to start when you're looking at a challenge to the Confrontation Clause for DNA batch testing, because they're both very, very thorough. But you also want to keep an eye on this case. Null versus State is a case out of the petition has been filed, but it's a case out of the Court of Appeals where similar, basically testimonial, the Court of Appeals held that the trial court erred in admitting similar testimony in the punishment phase of the trial. And so we'll see whether or not this jives, whether this moves the this falls into the Birch line of cases where, yes, this person doesn't really do an analysis, but they're sponsoring another person who's not testifying, sponsoring their analysis, or is this a situation where they're doing their own analysis, but they're relying on stuff that that experts commonly rely on? So we'll have to see what happens with Null and whether or not that leads to a different outcome than Molina. But be that as it may, number six. Under the statute of limitations, them feds won't haul me, you can't catch me, I ain't in no race. I don't know, I guess I'm the only one. My autocorrect continues to say statue of limitations whenever I write. And that's why I have statue. That and trail. So soon we'll have a picture of a trail for a trial court error. But in any event, the other thing I was fascinated by is hip-hop really is interested in the statute of limitations. There's a lot of statute of limitations songs by hip-hop artists. And I've just given you one, so there you go. Go out there, listen to your mumble rap. It's great. Ain't nothing on going on but the clothes I bought. Ex parte Edwards is a case dealing with a pretrial writ for a statute of limitations. The state charges Edward with sexual assault.